I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Happy Saturday, everybody. The Ghost Army came up briefly in our recent episode on Joan Curran, so it seemed like exactly the right time to put out that episode again.
This one originally came out almost exactly 5 years ago on January 28th, 2015.
So enjoy.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about military history, and it's World War II specifically. And even though this particular piece that we're discussing is, in fact, military history, if there were a history of ingenuity or sleight of hand, I think this would probably be one of the big events on that timeline. So we're going to be talking about the U.S. Ghost Army, which was a top secret group that was assembled to create confusion and mislead Axis forces. And it's a really amazing story that stars ingenuity and bravado as sort of the main elements of the piece. And the idea of military deception was, of course, not new to World War II. Everyone has heard of, like, the Trojan horse, for example, and deceit as a tactic as part of Sun Tzu's Art of War. Almost any culture in history that found itself at war with another culture used some type of trickery to try to outsmart the enemy, because that's sort of a vital part of getting the upper hand in a conflict, is misleading so that you can kind of swoop in with your forces. But this group really went to some pretty extraordinary measures to achieve their goals, and they did some really fascinating and cool things. And it was classified for a long time and then kind of came to light. So we are going to talk about it today because it is really cool.
So to start out at the beginning, like we normally do, the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops was the one and only deception outfit that the U.S. Army had ever authorized. The goal was to corral a group of creative thinkers to approach warfare in new ways.
And this sort of trickery-focused effort was inspired by the success of Operation Bertram, in which Allied forces used dummy tanks and camouflage to trick Rommel's forces into an incorrect assessment of the Allies' position and strength during the Second Battle of El Alamein in North Africa. And also bolstering this case for a deception unit was the U.S. success in misleading German intelligence leading up to the Battle of Tunisia. They realized deception was working, and they thought, let's just have a unit that's focused on this.
The idea of forming a unit dedicated just to this is attributed to Captain Ralph Ingersoll. Before the war, he had been a celebrity journalist, and he'd been working with Great Britain on deception techniques to mislead the Germans in the time leading up to D-Day. On Christmas Eve of 1943, a memo to the Assistant Chief of Staff for Operations, War Department in Washington, D.C., officially requested the creation of a unit with a mission, quote, to simulate a corps of 2 infantry divisions and 1 armored divisions and corps installations, railhead, dumps, etc.
So, beginning in 1944, more than 1,000 young men were recruited, and they were often recent art school graduates or ad agency creatives, and they were handpicked for this assignment. Recruits were sent to Camp Forest in Tullahoma, Tennessee to train.
Within the 23rd were several companies. The 244th Signal Company worked on radio counterintelligence. The 3132nd Signal Service Company, which was actually trained at Pine Camp, New York, worked to develop sonic deception techniques. The 406th Engineer Combat Company worked on the big construction projects and was in charge of security.
And often you'll hear this effort mentioned, like when people say, oh, the Ghost Army, they used inflatable tanks to deceive the Germans. And that is partially true. But as we mentioned in breaking down these different companies within the 23rd, it was a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, I feel like the tanks get the big, like, kind of BuzzFeed-y headlines all the time.
Which is understandable. There's really cool video that exists, like where you can see them rolling over these inflated tanks. And I don't know that I have ever heard any of the audio recordings, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone reference them online. So you can see where the tanks get all the attention, but that was not all there was.
For instance, audio work, sometimes referred to as sonic deception, was a huge piece of the Ghost Army puzzle.
Yeah, they would mount these huge speakers to project elaborate soundscapes and radio plays that were created by the 3132nd Signal Service Company. And these men had recorded tanks and trucks and artillery units, and they sound engineered them into a number of different soundtracks. And these recordings would include sounds of tanks on the move or military construction, and they would even have things like vehicles sputtering. And they basically amassed this really amazing sound catalog of basically every military vehicle that they had access to doing everything those machines could do. So they could kind of piece them together and create unique and specific radio dramas, basically. So if you wanted to broadcast a battalion of vehicles starting up in the distance and moving closer, they could create that with their vast library of recordings, complete with idiosyncratic engine noises for specific vehicles, and kind of mimic that distance to slowly moving forward nearness that you would hear if you were in one position with an actual troop going by.
I like to imagine this as an extremely high-tech version of following King Arthur around, banging coconuts together.
But it was very high-tech, even for the time. I mean, they were really kind of on the advanced edge of technology and how they were using sound.
Yeah. Well, and it's like that kind of sound work happens in movies and TV and things like that all the time now. Like, that's just sort of how it works. So this was a different use for that. In addition to the 3 companies created with new recruits, another company was looped into the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops, and that was the 603rd Engineer Camouflage Battalion. The men of the 603rd had been working on camouflage for a couple of years already, so they brought their expertise to a group already in a fairly polished state. They had already managed an impressive accomplishment by disguising the plant in Baltimore where B-26 bombers were assembled. In the event that Axis forces wished to look for the plant, what they would see when they flew over was just a regular rural area.
And before we get to how the 23rd trained and then made their way to Europe, do you want to pause for a moment for a word from a sponsor?
Yes, I do.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So during the spring of 1944, the men of the 23rd were training, but they were training in skills that seemed, in many ways, more appropriate for a touring theater company than for a group of soldiers.
So they built prototype prop vehicles, first out of wood and burlap, and then out of rubber. The rubber versions looked incredibly realistic, but they weighed less than 100 pounds apiece.
The men would also train with dummy artillery and other prop equipment. They practiced sending each other fake radio messages, and they learned just enough about other different outfits that they could impersonate them, either as individuals or as a group. And men who couldn't sew had to learn because they were going to have to quickly alter their uniforms and switch out patches as they sort of performed these presto changeo masquerades.
In May, the majority of the 23rd boarded the USS Henry Gibbons in New York, bound for Great Britain. They spent about a month near Stratford-on-Avon while they trained, although by all accounts, there was also quite a bit of partying.
Yeah, this sounds like really a lovely time that they had while they were in Britain. But the first wave of men from the 23rd shipped out to France just following D-Day, and this was a small platoon. It was just 15 men, and they landed at Omaha Beach on June 14th. So just add a week, a little more. And nurses actually flew with them so that they could tend to the wounded that were waiting there on the beach.
Going from a month in the idyllic British countryside, having what was kind of a party-esque atmosphere, into the reality of war in France was, of course, something of a shock. Knowing that they were there to draw fire, some of the men thought that the 23rd was really a suicide outfit.
Yeah, they had been trained in different sort of arts and deceptions, but not so much in actual combat. So they really did, some of them really did think at that point, like, oh, they're just sending us there to die and take the heat off the real soldiers. But over the course of the next 2 months, the rest of the 23rd joined their fellows in France, leading up to their first big mission, which was Operation Elephant.
About half of the men in the unit were involved in Operation Elephant, during which they pretended to be the Army's 2nd Armored Division. The real 2nd Armored Division was on the move while the 23rd kept up the appearances.
Yeah, and that's sort of a theme of their missions throughout. And while this sham did indeed work, nearby German troops held their position rather than following the real 2nd Armored Division because they did believe they were still there. This was also a pretty big learning experience. During this particular operation, it was revealed that if the inflatable tanks that the 23rd used lost even a small amount of air, the cannons would droop and give the whole thing away. There are some paintings that you can find online and in documentaries where you see sort of this droopy cannon barrel, and it really does look comical.
It's an inherently comical image.
Yeah, their tanks are not made to fire into the ground, so it looked very, very silly. And while they were not discovered in their theatrics during Operation Elephant, it also became apparent that setting up an entire false division was going to be better executed in the dark of night. They had not waited until really late. They used some daylight hours to do it. And they also realized that they really needed to, like, tighten up their disguise and camouflage game if they wanted to ensure future success.
The entire 23rd was then tasked with Operation Brest, which was named for the nearby French port city. That was in August 1944. The Sonic unit was the last to arrive in France, so Brest was the first time that the 23rd had their full arsenal of tricks at their disposal.
And the goal was to create the impression of an existing tank unit having far greater power than it actually did, with the hopes that they would trick the Germans into a surrender. And so the 23rd used a mix of actual tanks and dummies, flash canisters to sort of fake tanks firing, and sound mixing to create this really convincing illusion of a huge tank division. And the main bravado move of this mission came in the delivery of some of these soundscapes that they had mixed. So late at night, members of the 23rd would actually sort of creep forward with their sound equipment. They would get within about 500 yards of the enemy line, and they would play sounds of what sounded like officers issuing orders and people yelling counter orders and even like fake situations of arguments where there would be accidents that were staged and there would be cursing at these imaginary errors. They were all doing this really pretty close to enemy lines. It was pretty to think about what that must have been like, sitting there in the dark with your speaker playing these things, knowing how very close you were. It's sobering to think about.
It was effective, so effective that it confused friendly units positioned about a mile away. And while it didn't get the Germans under General Hermann B. von Ramka to turn tail, it did keep them from going anywhere. This was a good thing, since that was an estimated 38,000 troops, and that was almost double what the Allies had initially estimated. If they had not been tricked into holding their line against this perceived threat from this puffed-up, half-fake tank battalion, they might have gone on the offensive and then really damaged the Allied forces.
And throughout the rest of 1944 and on into 1945, the 23rd continued to run these military masquerade games. And with every mission, they would kind of regroup and refine their playbook and see what had worked and what hadn't. And they just got better and better and better.
They learned how to stage and set dress their fake camps more and more authentically. And they started hand painting patches to mimic those of existing units. So they, if they couldn't get a hold of real ones. Then they would stage fake headquarters to give out fake promotions, so low-ranking men would look like generals and other officers, creating the full illusion of real operations.
And then late at night, they would, you know, go where they were called and inflate their faux vehicles and artillery under cover of darkness, so that when dawn came, it would appear as though a huge surge of troops had arrived in the area. And in addition to providing this false image of battle-ready army troops, where there was really only a line of fake vehicles and pre-recorded noise, the 23rd's ability to seem to appear out of thin air and vanish just as quickly actually had a really unnerving effect on the enemy. So the German army started calling them the Phantom Army.
Other tricks included the ongoing burning of fires at camps that were deserted and different ways to create fake tank tracks. In addition to the inflatable tanks and trucks, they also used dummy planes and buildings.
They could mix fake radio transmissions with the real ones to confuse the enemy. And they mounted fake parachute drops and put up signs directing Allied vehicles that were never actually coming.
But this elaborate spectacle also included a whole lot of acting on the part of the troops. So knowing that any U.S. troops were always being watched by German soldiers or spies, or sometimes there were French people working for the Germans as informants, the boys of the 23rd would really employ all manner of ruses. They would change out their unit insignias, as we mentioned, on uniforms, as well as on vehicles. They would do quick stencil work to change everything up. And they would make sure that they were seen about town, wherever they were, kind of drinking and hanging out. And if they were asked what unit they were a part of, they would just make up names or reference a unit that they were covering for. And some of them even would sort of mount these fake little tableaux where they would feign drunkenness and blab false information in public places. So this sort of became this ongoing game of misinformation and subterfuge where they were just sort of always acting.
This wasn't completely flawless, though. Sometimes there were mistakes and problems. On occasion, a dummy tank would be inflated facing the wrong direction because all of these setup parts were being done at night. It was easy enough to lift one and turn it around, but if it was already daylight when they realized the problem, they were going to have to do it with really careful timing so as not to be noticed. At one point, several vehicles that had been inflated in the night were warmed so much the sun came up that the air expanding inside them caused them to pop loudly as they sprang leaks. And while this sort of sounds hilarious, it was happening during a war, so all of these accidents put the men involved at serious risk.
And all in all, there were 21 missions mounted by the 23rd. And before we get to sort of the biggest one that they undertook, do you want to do a quick word from a sponsor?
Let's do. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So the biggest and what is arguably the most successful of the 23rd's missions was Operation Viersen. And this took place near the war's end. Relatively speaking, it wasn't right at the end, but it was in March of 1945. And this basically launched a big visible decoy mission to once again cover the movements of other troops.
While parts of the 9th Army were moving north to quietly cross the Rhine, the 23rd was making a big show of pretending to be those troops farther south. They masqueraded as the 9th and ran practice and training maneuvers for a crossing at Viersen, and just publicly enough to draw lots of attention.
And this was really a massive effort. So they set up fake medical and engineering facilities. They had trucks and sonic crews creating the illusion of convoys moving supplies. At one point, they were just having trucks loaded up where they would be driving them back and forth, and they would put two guys at the very back so it looked like it was full of troops, but in fact there were only two guys at the back. They arranged everything perfectly so that an aerial reconnaissance taking pictures would have no idea that the entire thing was a hoax. One of the reasons that they used artists was so they could conceptually visualize like how things would look from multiple angles, even when they didn't have those angles available to them. So they really made this whole thing beautifully realistic, even though it was, in fact, all a hoax.
When the real 9th crossed the Rhine, the Germans were taken totally by surprise. Those German troops that could resist them were disorganized and unprepared, so U.S. casualties were very few. The 23rd received a commendation from the 9th Army Commander William Simpson for their effort.
A later estimate by Simpson placed the number of troops that were saved by this deception at 10,000. And it ended up being the 23rd's last mission of the war. And in September of 1945, the 23rd was completely shut down.
So one of the inherent dangers of being in a ghost army designed to draw attention is that it also draws fire. So it's easy to think of all this pageantry and strategic sleight of hand as really fun and fascinating, but it really put the men involved at great risk.
At one point, they were actually set up in Bastogne, and they actually missed the start of the Battle of the Bulge by about 4 hours. They had been pulled out around midnight of December 16th, and this was, at this point, 1944, and the fighting started around 4 a.m. So had those men been trapped there with their phony equipment, they would have been in incredibly dire straits and unable to defend themselves.
During the Battle of the Bulge, the 23rd returned to Luxembourg City, where they had already spent a lot of time, and fired from the rooftops at the incoming Luftwaffe aircraft. This is the only time they ever really, for real, fired at the enemy.
Yeah, it was their one time that they actually got to perform actual combat activities. And the 23rd, after that, was very quickly moved to Verdun. So in part, the Allies wanted to maintain the secrecy of the Ghost Army, and in another part, they realized that this blow-up dummy artillery was not going to be any good in a fight, so they just wanted to clear them out. And the men ended up spending Christmas in Verdun.
While the group had been extraordinarily lucky throughout their time, their luck finally ran out in the spring of 1945. On March 12th, while impersonating the 80th Infantry, the 23rd drew German artillery fire. Two of their men were killed and 15 others were wounded. This was really their worst day, in spite of having been in incredibly dangerous areas many times as they kept up false appearances all through the war.
And one of the problems that comes up when discussing the 23rd and their effectiveness and sort of assessing what they were able to achieve lies in the fact that so much of their work was secret. And often it fooled Allied forces as well as the enemy. Like, the Allied forces didn't even really know what was going on with them a lot of the time. They thought they were just another unit.
After the war, most of the men stayed quiet about the amazing works of deceptive art that they had been a part of. The work was classified, so in the event that the U.S. found itself at war again, having a ghost army would be a really valuable asset.
So the military didn't want to tip its hand and reveal this resource.
But finally in 1996, so almost 19 years ago from when we're recording this, the work of the 23rd was declassified, and the men who had only been able to give cagey answers to their families about what they had done in the war were now free to speak of their incredible efforts.
One of the truly significant aspects of the 23rd and the work that they did is the fact that an entire division of creative people was successfully managed within the structure of the military.
Yeah, this is one of those things that people often go, like, look, these were all artists, and they totally were able to work together in this effort. And I don't know if that speaks to, like, their level of commitment or independence. You know, it's one of those things that often likes to get bandied about, particularly when you're talking about modern business. Like, oh, it's hard to manage creative people. It's like, these guys managed and they were doing some scary stuff.
Yeah, I think it also speaks to the, like, perpetual mythologizing of creative work as some kind of extraordinary thing when, in a lot of cases, it is work.
Yeah, which isn't to say that, like, creative inspiration isn't really fabulous and cool and unique in many ways, but I find that to be a really interesting one, that we do mythologize working with creative types. And I say this as a creative person married to an artist as well, like, but it can be, anybody can be managed.
Right.
You know, any sort of effort can be put together. It's all about, you know, using people's assets. And another really incredible legacy is the artwork that a lot of these men were doing while they were deployed. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's really no surprise that a lot of the men who were involved in effectively doing art for the Army went on to careers in the arts. So, for example, Bill Blass, of course, went on to build a fashion empire. He'd actually been sketching women's clothing during the war.
Yeah, there was one interview that I saw with one of the other members of the 23rd, and he was saying, and I don't know if he was serious or not, that Bill Blass would read Vogue magazine in foxholes, but... I have no idea, but I loved it. Art Kane, of course, became a very well-known photographer. His photo entitled A Great Day in Harlem, which was taken in 1958, featured 57 prominent jazz musicians, and it's still considered one of the most important images of jazz history. And he also took a lot of incredible celebrity portraits, and he was the photographer for the one and only DeLorean magazine ad to ever run.
Ellsworth Kelly made a career as a painter and a sculptor and became known for use of really bright color and very hard edges.
Arthur Singer became an illustrator, and he really became known for his incredibly detailed bird illustrations. So if you have ever looked at an illustrated birding field guide, odds are really good that you've seen his work because it's been in everything.
Jack Macy went on to design backdrops for the State Department. Eventually, he designed the kitchen set that was used for the Nixon-Khrushchev debate of 1959.
And there's a really wonderful documentary called The Ghost Army that I highly recommend for people that want to hear accounts from some of the surviving members of the 23rd. And one of the reasons I really loved it, too, is that it being a visual medium, they're able to show a lot of the artwork that these men were doing while they were in France and performing all these amazing maneuvers. And one of the men says something like, you know, we were in all these crazy circumstances, but we could always find time or a place to duck away and do a quick watercolor, which I think is just super charming. Like they just were all artists at heart, even though they were part of this amazing war effort. And that documentary is, as of this recording in early 2015, is available on Netflix. And it's a little longer than an hour. And you get to see a lot of this really amazing art and just interviews with these guys. And it deals a little bit more with them as individuals rather than like what we've covered is so much of sort of the bigger kind of broad strokes of the whole unit. But this really focuses on some of the different men and has interviews with them that are really quite charming and touching and really, really entertaining. So I highly recommend that. And that is the Ghost Army, which is just such a, the whole thing is so cool. And I'm surprised, even though it does pop up sometimes in, like, you know, listicles online, people don't really know about it. Like, it's another one of those things where I thought, oh, everyone's heard about this. We've had a few requests for it. But then when I mention it to people, they look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then when I say a few things, they get sort of this, like, agog, really? What? So clearly, there's some gap in their... in the knowledge about these guys, and they did such amazing things that I think everybody should know what their work was like.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this Saturday Classic. If you have heard any kind of email address or maybe a Facebook URL during the course of the episode, that might be obsolete. It might be doubly obsolete because we have changed our email address again. You can now reach us at historypodcast@iheartradio.com, and we're all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.